Hello, everybody, and welcome to today's Success Circle group Q&A call. I want to welcome everyone. This is Lisa Minini with Accelerate Associates. I'm so glad you're here. We're going to get started. I want to first welcome any new Success Circle Elite or Select members. So welcome to the call. And, of course, I want to also welcome the existing members. Just a quick update for the what the Q&A call is all about. This is your opportunity to ask any questions that you have. Remember that you should have submitted the question to info@accelerateassociates.com. That's E-X-C-E-L-L-E-R-A-T-E Associates, A-S-S-O-C-I-A-T-E-S.com. And we triage those questions and then put them together for today's call. And so today is your opportunity to ask any questions that you have. It could be a question about the last high content business accelerator call that we had, or it could also be as you work through the Entrepreneurial Edge system, it could be a question about that or even about growing your business. We do like you to come on to the call live so that I can coach you through that question, but for some of you, you might not be able to make the call live, so we'll answer your question. But sometimes there's some guesswork on my part in answering your question. That way, if you come live, it's a lot better because I can ask you some follow-up questions and really seek to understand what your question is and kind of coach you through that process. If you have a question, chances are the other people also have a question. So, and many times it's a question that other people were thinking about but didn't want to ask. So don't, you know, hold back your questions. If we don't understand what you're asking, when you send us an email, we'll call you up or give you another email. So, you know, don't be afraid to ask any questions that you might have. It's not silly. We're all here to learn, and that's the whole purpose of the Success Circle. Well, here in the U.S., I know we have I have some international folks that are listening. We are 2 days away from Thanksgiving, national holiday, so we do have a number of people that submitted questions but who are unable to be here on the call. But what I will do, as I do every time, is answer any answer their questions. And so we'll get those questions answered. But I think we had a lot of people submit questions who just could not be here live because they're traveling and they're on their way visiting their families. We're 2 days out from Thanksgiving, so I'll do what I can to answer your questions. Make sure you also – we'll probably have an abbreviated call today as well. And I also want to mention some upcoming events, like I do, you know, at the beginning of this call and at the beginning of the business accelerator call, the high content call, is I like to let you know what the upcoming events are so you can plug them into your calendar right away. So the first one that's coming up is on Friday, December 16th, and that is a live event. So for those of you that are going to be in Michigan, I'll be presenting How to Go from Startup to Success Story, which is sponsored by Spark, and it's a business incubator organization in Ann Arbor, Michigan. So I will be speaking there. All of these events can be found on our events page at accelerateassociates.com. So you could just go right on there and register for the events. Wednesday, that was December 16th, and that starts in the morning at 9 a.m. in the morning, How to Go from Startup to Success Story. Tuesday, December 13th is your next High Content Business Accelerator call, and that is going to be the top 10 ways to discover where your prospects hang out. So I'm really pleased to be doing that. I know we've had a number of questions about, well, how can I tell where my, you know, where my preferred prospects hang out? Well, I'm going to go through the top 10 ways with you on the next Business Accelerator call. Again, that's Tuesday, December 13th at 4:30 p.m. Eastern Time, 4:30 p.m. Eastern Time. And Wednesday, January 18th, I know I'm going a little bit ahead here, but Wednesday, January 18th, I will also be also another live event that's happening here in Michigan, sponsored by the Better Business Bureau, and that is going to be Seal the Deal 98% of the time. So I'll be going through that, my Seal the Deal system with you. Again, that's sponsored by the Better Business Bureau on Wednesday, January 18th. Real excited about that, to be partnering with the BBB. And Thursday, January 19th, I will be hosting my monthly business growth teleseminar series. And this one is called Get Started Making 2012 Your Best Year Ever. Get Started Making 2012 Your Best Year Ever. And that is a teleseminar. Again, that's being held on Thursday, January 19th. And information about that's going to be on our events page very shortly. So make sure you register for that and tell your friends, because I'm going to reveal some pretty juicy stuff there. So we're going to get that registration up and running pretty soon. But mark your calendar for that. I think it's at 6 o'clock in the evening, but I'll double check that. That's p.m., 6 p.m. Eastern Time. Well, let me get started right off the bat with some of the questions. We've got actually a couple of questions that came in from some of you that were you really asked the same question, so I'll be able to answer. Actually, a few of you asked the same question or similar question, so I'll be able to address that. The first one is from Dana, who emailed about startup capital, who do I talk to, who do I trust, financing, and that capital was really your biggest frustration when it comes to getting your business on its way. You know, should I be this paranoid about my ideas, she asks. Well, Dana, you know, I know you couldn't be here today, but, you know, in terms of being paranoid about your ideas, I think when you first get started, because Dana, I think you mentioned to me you just got your business started, there's a hesitation sometimes when people get their business started that actually holds them back from getting the results quicker, because they're so, so paranoid about their business, they share it with no one. Well, you know what? At some point, you're going to have to market your business, right? So what I suggest you do, though, is if you have a really great idea, that you talk to an attorney about your idea and then any protection that comes from it. And I think that's really important thing to do, particularly if you have a patent or something that you need to make sure is protected. Because there's a lot of laws that do change. I was just listening to a patent attorney who said that some of the laws have changed, and regardless if you're the first one to create something, a patent, it's the first one actually that gets filed. And, you know, of course, I'm not an attorney. Don't take that as my, you know, as the word. But I suggest that a lot of small business owners invest in something called Legal Shield, which is used to be called Prepaid Legal. It has been enormously helpful for my own business and in businesses that I've referred other small businesses to, because you can, in many cases, ask an unlimited amount of questions to an attorney without having to pay that hourly rate. It's a membership that you pay each month. I think the least amount is like $17 or something like that. Let me give you a link. You can go to www.prepaidlegal.com/hub, H-U-B, H-U-B, B as in boy, slash L-A Minini, my last name, M-I-N-I-N-N-I. So I'll repeat that, prepaidlegal.com/hub/L-A-M-I-N-N-I. I'll tell you all about the different coverages that are also available for small businesses, whether you're a solo practitioner or you have employees. And then you can select the one that's right for you. I've referred so many people to it, they said, Lisa, we'll give you your own link. So I've got my own link. And again, I really highly recommend that. So Dana, that's first and foremost. You can talk to somebody who is an expert in your area, depending on what your idea is, and that'll get you the help that you need at some, you know, very, very affordable price. Okay. You also had a question though regarding startup capital, who to talk to, financing. My first thing is it capital you need or is it cash flow that you need? A lot of times when, you know, consultants, coaches, trainers, you know, people that are solo practitioners that just start off, it's not capital that they need. They're looking more for cash flow. In that case, then I would say work through the Entrepreneurial Edge systematizing and monetizing. Work through that as quickly as possible to really get your business model solid, secure. Well, actually, you have to work through all three, but try to work through the program as quickly as possible because then you'll be able to understand who your ideal client is so you can target them very quickly, systematize and monetize to bring in some of that cash flow and start implementing that business model. So if cash flow is the issue, then you can also we can also brainstorm on different things that will bring in cash to your business right away. We can handle that on your laser coaching calls if you have that. So that is something that that you want to consider. The other piece is capital, and I wrote a blog about this, and I won't go through the whole thing, but you want to visit my blog right on my website at accelerateassociates.com, and I wrote about some of the key things. Now, I'm not an expert, but I consulted an expert on this. Your business, your local bank, or your local credit union might also have someone who specializes in small business financing or loans. They can also help you, but you know, they're still going to ask you what your business plan is if you go in for financing. So if you haven't worked through the Entrepreneurial Edge system through to the blueprint yet, the third phase, then it's going to be a little premature for you to even go in there because they're going to ask you, well, what's your plan for making money and how can you repay this loan? So that's going to be really key, and they're going to ask you, did you generate enough income to pay for some of those expenses? And so that's going to be really key first, that you have to really go in there with some plans that they see you've really thought this through before they're going to loan you any money anyway. But once you know and you've predicted what the startup costs are, you need to consider what kind of financing, you know, is it going to be debt or equity financing? Now, debt financing is a loan from an outside source, and it's going to need to be repaid at some time in the future. Equity financing is an investment in dollars by the owner or other interested party in exchange for a portion of that ownership. Okay, so those are some kind of types of financing that you can look into. And, you know, some people have a combination of both debt and equity financing. But you've got to be careful about that. And that's why I would recommend that you really go to seek an advice of someone who specializes in that, who knows that, and can help maybe even mentor you in how to present your business idea and your business plan to see if you can get financed for your business or so that you can get financing for your business. You know, there's a lot of things. In my blog article, I've also talked about the principles, the five C's of credit: capacity, capital, collateral, conditions, and character. And so you can go, again, on my blog to go see that. But, you know, capacity, they're going to ask you about, you know, how much debt can you comfortably handle? You know, do you have any capital, such as real estate, savings, or investment to repay a debt? You know, collateral, some kinds of assets. They're going to see the conditions or the general economic climate at the time the loan is requested, and the purpose of the loan, and then also the character. It's going to refer to, they're going to check into how you've handled past debt obligations. So all of those things, your lending institution is going to take a look at. So before you go to see them, you know, really look at some of those things and see if that's really, is it capital that you need, or is it a matter of bringing in cash flow so that you can fund that. And then some, you know, in some other cases, some people get funding with family, depending on what the business idea. But again, you're really going to have to think through that. And you know, you really want to think through what your business is. So again, getting through the three steps in the Entrepreneurial Edge system will get you to your blueprint so that you can present what that plan looks like, how are you going to get there, and it's very clear to the funding or the lending institution that is going to help you with some of the capital costs if that's your what you need. So, Dana, I hope that answers your question about startup capital, where to go to. In terms of who to trust about that, what I would do is get a referral and ask people that, or even if you do go into your lending institution, then ask them for references. You know, people that they've worked with, and maybe even businesses like yours. So that they, you know, again, do your due diligence there. And all the more reason to have an attorney too, so they can look over some of the fine print that you're going to be asked to sign when they do lend you the money. So again, really great investment for you. So Dana, I hope that answers your question. I know that was a little long-winded, but I wanted to make sure I was thorough with that. So hopefully that answers your question. Let's see, we have some other questions here. Oh, and by the way, I'm actually talking to a small business lender, an optional lender. We don't have anything finalized, but by the April 26th to 28th event in 2012, I will likely have somebody I can also refer you to, and we'll keep that in the resources Rolodex of the Entrepreneurial Edge system. So you'll get that person's name and number just as soon as we've secured discussions with them. So I just want to let you know to my Success Circle members that that's in the works. Oh, also, Dana, I forgot to mention, also check your Small Business Administration, the SBA. They have microloan programs for startup or small businesses. There are some intermediaries and nonprofit community-based lenders that will give out smaller loans, you know, that average about $13,000, enough to get small businesses. But again, they're still going to ask you for what your plan is, so make sure that you've worked through the business blueprint and that you have that prepared for them, so they know you've thought out how you're going to be bringing in income for your business. If you just go to the SBA, which stands for Small Business Association.gov, SBA.gov, GOV, and they'll have more information there. You can also check out venture capitals, people that do invest, angel investors, but again, Much of that is going to be available on the SBA.gov site. Or I know for the folks that are in Michigan, the Michigan Economic Development Corp, the MEDC.org, the THEMEDC.org, they might have some information on their websites as well. We've got, let me get into our other questions that we had. Valerie and Jim, there was a couple of questions that came in about how do I minimize distractions, how do I get organized and productive, how do I reach my customers. So I want to go through what some of those common questions are. Relative to how do I minimize some of my distractions, I know I get this question a lot from home-based businesses, people that run their business out of their home. And a lot of the distractions come in with, gee, you know, I'm, you know, being interrupted, and that, you know, there's a lot of times where, number one, if you have to create some boundaries with family members, and those boundaries are around work times and when they can or cannot interrupt you from those work times, there might be additional space or a place or a room that you've designated as your office area where you need to create those ground rules that just say, you know, when I'm working, when I'm here, then, you know, I can't be disturbed. For some of you, you might also have childcare issues, so you really need to, you know, take a look at, is there someone that could come, you know, and take care of the children or child when they're, you know, so that you have pockets of time to do very laser-focused work. And so that might help minimize the distraction. And then there's other things that we've talked about in the first step of the Entrepreneurial Edge system, which is to master your inner entrepreneur. And during that step, you'll look at how to shift and shape the way that you work. Now, for some of you, that might be to shut off any email notifications. There's nothing worse than when you're trying to maybe write a piece of marketing material or an article and really need some focused time, maybe a program or a, you know, webinar or teleseminar or training materials, and you get constant interruptions by that email, which is an enticer. You know, you've got mail or that little ding that happens when your email goes off. What I often recommend is you shut that off or shut down your email and only check it once or twice a day, in the morning and in the afternoon. Now, because of certain nature of some of the nature of some of your businesses, you're unable to do that. But I would also test you and challenge you rather, and say, do you really need to be checking it, you know, pushing that send receive button all the time? Chances are probably not for the good majority of you. So that might be a way to shift or shape the way you work. You can also look at when are you answering phones. Maybe it's just during scheduled times. One of my colleagues, he had a type of business where he made all of his outgoing calls in the day, during the morning, and he returned calls in the morning and he accepted calls in the afternoon or something like that. And what worked for him is because he had, in essence, clustered his time. So that's another strategy or a tactic in managing any distractions, is sometimes those distractions can be controlled by how you schedule your work. You might want to cluster your clients all at one time or all in one day. Or you might want to have some networking and maybe you meet with people on certain days, and you cluster all of those meetings, those networking meetings with people on a certain day, so they're, you know, one after the other, and so that you don't have, you know, your travel time. Your travel time is very efficient in how you're managing that. And in some cases, how you're outsourcing your work, So are you outsourcing work, and do you feel frustrated because sometimes those distractions come in, but those distractions are really something that you should be outsourcing to someone, and they should be handling the routine, repetitive details or those non-client-generating activities. All right, so think about how you can shift or even shape the way that you're working to minimize further distractions. Oftentimes, it's because we've also programmed other people in how we invite them. We get this mistaken notion about what an open door policy is. And so you have employees coming to you with problems, but in reality, they have no solutions. One way to minimize that distraction is to set the expectation to your employees that when they do come to you with a problem, that they've often thought it through so that they come to you with a solution. Well, here's the problem, and here's my solution. You know, again, sometimes, you know, that's a situation you might have created because you know all the information, and you don't necessarily share that. So they come to you because you have all the answers. Unfortunately, what it's doing to you is it's inhibiting your ability to grow and creating more distractions for you because you haven't imparted that knowledge on someone else. So there may be some additional things that you need to do to make sure that you delegate so that you don't have some of those distractions and delegate your knowledge and to someone else who will handle that for you. So we talked about shaping the way you work, shutting off emails, how you answer phones or make phone calls. And again, I talked earlier about boundaries. That might also mean whether or not you accept phone calls. You know, a lot of times I get the question, how do I, you know, minimize distractions when I have family calling me during the day? Well, you know what? There's voicemail. You might have to change the way that you respond to those inquiries. And then, again, making it clear with how many distractions you're going to have or when you're going to have those distractions. Because the reality is that, you know, you have to determine what those boundaries are. You know, some people don't mind those distractions because they integrated into their work routine, and their work is not 9 to 5. Okay, that's they, you know, pick up the kids and they do some work at night when the baby's sleeping, or you know, they've integrated life and business together. Other people need to work a little bit more structured. Only you know what that fine dance is that can determine the best way to serve your customers, serve yourself, serve the business. But these are just some ideas, and you've got to really look at the right mix for that. For some of you, too, completing your business blueprint, I cannot emphasize how important completing your business blueprint is. It is just the staple for keeping really focused on what the activities are, why you're doing what you're doing, and how to keep really focused. Now, for some of you, you might have gotten your blueprint done, but your business is your office is such a mess that you really need to clean that first. I've got to tell you, you know, there was one point where my business or my office was a complete shambles, and I just took one day just to throw out a lot of old stuff that I was hanging on to. An important thing happened right after I did that. There was this plethora of business that came in. is just waiting for space. I had so much, literally, paperwork around that I didn't need anymore, but I just needed to make a commitment and take time to really create systems in my own business and take all the old stuff and throw that out. All right, one of the other questions that I've had, so I think I covered that. There's also a question of how do I reach my customers? I've gotten this question in several different ways. How do I reach my customers? How do I reach my clients? First of all, number one, you need to be exact to attract. So is your preferred client profile completed? Do you know demographics, geographics, psychographics? Are those very clear to you? And do you know where your ideal or your preferred clients hang out in large numbers, whether that's blogs they read, magazines they read? And in the next Business Accelerator call in December, I'm going to go through the top 10 ways to find out where they hang out. But in terms of reaching your customers, first and foremost, you've got to know where they hang out. Once you know where they hang out, there's another piece of that is inserting your message in front of them and identifying in a way and identifying marketing messages that are so mesmerizing that people are really attracted to your message. And it's just such a spot-on match, it seems like you're talking to them. Now, if you don't know what a person's struggles are or their frustrations are so that you can put it in the marketing messages, then it's really important that you get your lead generation system in place as quickly as possible, because the lead generation system that I explain in the Entrepreneurial Edge system walks you step by step in how you get consistent market data on what the biggest frustrations are, what the biggest struggles are for your ideal clients. You get consistent data. There's really very few lead generation systems that actually get that information. And once you have that information and you know the struggles and you know the frustrations, then and only then can you develop your marketing materials that are so mesmerizing that people will be attracted to them and it's like you're speaking to them. It will also get a consistent flow of prospects, pre-qualified prospects, into your business. Now, once you do, remember about 4% of the people will actually do business with you the first time they see you. The other 96, or hear of you, the another 96%, you have to cultivate that relationship and you get give consistent value. All right? So I think a lot of times people look for the very quick fix, but again, it's cultivating that relationship over time. And once you get your lead once you're exact in who your preferred client is, once you know who that is, once you start identifying where they hang out and getting your message in front of them. Also, for pre-qualified prospects, you send them through your lead generation system. And once you do that, then you're going to be able to reach your customers. Now, some other things on the referral marketing side is you also want to take a look at partnering with other similar organizations who have the same target market but are not your competitor. So, for example, if you are a florist, so of course you're going to look for people that have the same target market. So florists, of course, their customers, you might look at funeral homes who, people pass away, they need flowers, so partner with the funeral homes. Weddings, how do you tap into the younger market so that they see you as the option, the preferred option for their weddings. This might mean getting in front of those people or getting on social media. and finding out where those young, that demographic hangs out, those people getting married. Well, you know, 9 times out of 10, it is going to be on Facebook in some way, shape, or form. So you better have a presence on Facebook and really engage that, you know, that population that's potential, you know, in the marrying age. But again, that's a long-term strategy. Also find out, you know, the magazines they read, again, the blogs they read, and also your current customer base. Now, how are you tapping in and using your current customer base to help you spread the word, and maybe even incentivize them? So using the florist as an example, how are you incentivizing your current clients to send you more customers, or your current customers to send you more customers? You know, maybe you give them a free, I don't know, bouquet of flowers for every 10 people they refer to you. If you're a chiropractor, do the same. You know, can you give them a free adjustment or free products or something? You know, just like car washes do. you go for so many car washes and you get a free one. Is that something you can do for your business? Consultants or coaches, how can you, what way can you incentivize your current customer base who send you referrals? Now, I have an affiliate program. My affiliate program gives anywhere from 20% for each referral. So what does that look like for you? How could you set that up and give out those referrals? Now, for financial planners, that's a little bit more tricky. I realize that. But I'm sure there are other incentive programs. You've got to look. It might be a little bit more tricky for you guys, but there are incentive programs that, you know, as a thank you, you know, that you can give out to people who do refer you business. So remember, there are multiple ways that you can incentivize your existing customer base to provide, you know, great referrals for you. And also making sure that it's done on a regular basis, and I'm sure you knew I was going to say this, but making sure that it's completely systematized, that you do it consistently like clockwork, so that, you know, so that people get accustomed that you and see it, so you're top of mind. So make sure that if you are asking your customer base, that you're not asking them too much, all right, but you're keeping it at the top of their mind, all right, and build in an incentive there. Okay, so Jim and Valerie, I hope I've answered your questions about minimizing distractions, getting productive and organized, and reaching your customers. Hopefully that answers your questions. All right, let's see what else we have here. All right. I think those were the questions that we had for today. But before we leave, I want to also kind of share with you a story that I read that I think was very appropriate for now and this Thanksgiving holiday that we have. And it's just a thought that I want to leave you with. There was a businessman who went on vacation to Puerto Vallarta, and he saw a clean and well-furnished hotel, and he was trying to get away. He was trying to get away from a failing business and a troubled marriage. He brought a lot of a supply of sleeping pills and requested several bottles of tequila to his room, and he was hoping to drown his worries away, because he was trying to get away from that failing business and his troubled marriage. But he watched the housekeeper stock the villa, you know, with frozen dinners, with dry cereal, and with his four large bottles of liquor, and was meeting all of his requests. And, you know, he figured, well, I can just stay in this room, I could eat alone, I can drink alone, and just be in my miserable self. But he noticed that the, you know, he noticed the housekeeper, and he noticed that she had very slow movements. You know, he even noticed her smile was all yellowed teeth, and he was just comforted somehow in knowing that somebody was worse off than he was, or so he thought. And he had a lot of, you know, an impending divorce, company troubles, and but he felt, you know, I have the money, I can, you know, keep my teeth whitened, and, you know, I can... at least in his mind, he thought he could look presentable. Well, the woman kind of went over to him and said, you know, sir, you don't look happy, she said in a voice, just kind of broken English. And she says, I'm a cook, too, and I bring you some real food. And so this troubled businessman looked at her and said, you know, I don't want to talk to anybody, but okay, I mean, if you want to do it, that's fine, and then it might be better than my microwave food. So he accepted her offer, and, you know, she went to the kitchen, and she started making him some real food, and, you know, he ate all the food that, she made, and she said to him, you know, senor, eat, you'll feel better. And he started eating all the food, and she got a nice hot bath, and she said, I'll, you know, draw a hot bath for you, and he asked her, how much do I owe you? And she said, nothing, it's my gift, you were hungry, and she left. Well, the next afternoon, you know, he drank some more, unfortunately, and, you know, he said to this housekeeper, I have payment for you for making me such a great meal. And he said, here, take it. You must need it. And she said, no, I'm rich. And he said, you know, he was surprised by her reaction. She says, come to my home tonight, and I'll show you. I'll come back at 7 o'clock, and I'll show you. And so at 7 o'clock, there was a knock on his door. And he followed her to her house. And they went to a neighborhood, very modest neighborhood, with, you know, iron on the windows, iron bars on the windows. And she opened the door, and she invited him into her house. The walls and the floor were bare, except for some small rugs, and a small sofa and a few chairs. And there was a large table in the room, and there was a lot of food on that table, surrounded by a dozen happy-looking eaters of all shapes, sizes, ages, and a lot of delicious smells that came from that table. And the businessman looked at her and thanked her. And she said to herself, she said to this businessman, rather, I am rich. I have my family. Where there is love, nothing is missing. My family is now your family. And I just wanted to leave that with you. I read the story today, and I just kind of gave you the highlights, but I just thought, you know, that's an interesting story, because here's a gentleman who seemingly had everything, yet he wasn't thankful for the little things in his life. And he met this housekeeper who had virtually nothing and worked really hard, and but she was rich in family and in love that surrounded her. So, you know, just keep in mind how, you know, how no matter what the circumstances are, to be thankful even for the little things that come your way. So I am too thankful that you're in my life, and I want to thank you so much for coming on today's call. I wish you all a very happy Thanksgiving, and even for my Canadian colleagues, if you're listening, happy belated Thanksgiving, because I know you celebrated last month. So enjoy, and thanks, everyone. Remember to also come on the December 13th, which is a Tuesday, for the Business Accelerator call, Top 10 Ways to Discover Where Your Prospects Hang Out. And if you have any other questions, feel free to email them to info@accelerateassociates.com, and we'll answer them on the next Q&A call. Thanks again, and have a wonderful holiday. Bye now.